All right, welcome back. This is Jared and Cameron's podcast where we talk about sports, all sports, what's happening in them. For this podcast, it's going to be a solely baseball podcast. We're going to talk about the ending to the World Series, the ending to the season. We're going to look at some of the off-season free agents, how teams could shake up, who's a contender, who's a pretender, and who's selling. And then we're going to look at maybe some things that we see for next year, an early kind of glance at some of the big storylines that we see taking place next year. So, Sunday night, Game 5, Boston won 5-1, won the series 4-1, and they are your 2018 MLB champions. What's your reaction?
I think they had a great postseason run, but, you know, they really played well as a team, and you'll get into that. But, you know, just something didn't feel like, maybe they were so dominant that it felt non-competitive. It just didn't feel that dominating. Like, their bullpen was good in the last two series, but then again, I wasn't, like, ever scared. I thought that they really went all out with their arms. Having Eovaldi come back after throwing 98, like, everything that Cora did was smart. Smart baseball, stealing bases, hidden runs, stuff like that, and having the right guy up at the plate. And that's something that Dave Roberts did not do well. That's my overall reaction. I think he messed up in some of the bullpen things, but I think Cora played so well with the bullpen using his starting pitchers. Edward Rodriguez, Eovaldi, Porcello, all of those guys really performed well out of the bullpen. And that it just didn't feel dominated. The games didn't feel dominated.
I think one thing that I noticed at the All-Star game that you don't really see in seasons, because while the Red Sox may have had a great record, you look over at the National League and there are still good records. But something I noticed at the All-Star game that I think played out a little bit here is just how much better the American League was than the National League this year and how it's kind of trended in that direction. I'm not saying All-Star games are indicative of this. And I know that the American League has won many, many All-Star games, you know, in a row, or, you know, 8 out of 9 or something like that. But I felt that when Boston beat Houston, that may have been like the World Series. The Dodgers just didn't have the horses. They didn't have the same talent as Boston. They were a great team on paper. They had a lot of nice names, but they never found a way to click as a unit. And that's something, I don't know who you blame. Do you blame Dave Roberts? Do you blame the general managers and the president of baseball operations? I think it's difficult when, you know, your main guys like Kershaw and Seager and Turner all miss extended periods of times. It's hard to start, you know, clicking as a unit. And yeah, maybe they weren't the best National League team of the last few years because the Cubs threw away an opportunity this year. The Brewers may still be a few pieces and a year away. The Braves are definitely maybe a year away from being serious overall contenders.
Being that Brewers type of contender.
Yeah, the Brewers, it just, what stinks,
no starting pitching.
What stinks for the Brewers is, so yeah, they were one game away from a World Series berth, but do you really think they could have beaten Boston? Because I don't. The way that they just didn't have the pitching, you know, they would have Sasheen and Woodruff and these and Gio Gonzalez and Zach
Davies.
They would
have been gassed.
They would have been killed in the early innings by a heavy hitting Boston lineup. LA, they all year lived on the homer and died on the homer. And this is another team, the Yankees, the Cubs a good amount, teams where their offense comes in spurts, and those spurts are when they hit homers. One thing that I really liked and admired that Alex Cora said recently, and I want to know your thoughts on this, is he said 210, 30 homers, and 70 RBIs has now become accepted throughout the league. And it's become something that's clarified as a good season, but it's not one for us. We pride ourselves on putting the ball in play, making the defense work. How do you see this kind of contrasting style? Because everybody's going one way with the homers. The Red Sox are still hitting homers. They still got JD and Mookie and Pearson, big power bats, but they also make the defense work. How do you see this kind of style in baseball?
So, first off, they have two guys who hit over 330 this year. That's crazy. Second off, you forgot this point, but something that Cora and Moreland have done is kind of putting the ball in play, but swinging at first pitch strikes. When they know there's going to be a fastball in this count, they swing first pitch at the ball, and they try and put the ball in play because anything can happen. Anything can happen. We saw JD misjudge a fly ball a couple months ago. Eduardo Nunez let a ball go right between his legs and scored three runs. Like, anything can happen. And I think about the contrasting issues. Like, yeah, I mean, but also I think that's also smart baseball too. I don't think necessarily everyone's thinking 210, 30 home runs is a good idea. But I think they're thinking, oh, we can have a couple of those guys in our lineup because it doesn't matter in the long run. But it does. And I think the more moderate, in the middle, non-analytic fan would say that putting the ball in play, moving the runner up, will score more runs. A lot of analytics don't show what happened in the play before. Wild pitch.
Definitely.
Like, a lot of those things, drop third strike and running, you know what I mean? Like,
there are certain, you know, certain integral parts of the game that you can't quantify into a number, and especially in baseball. In other sports, I feel like it is what it is, but in baseball, there are just certain aspects where you can't just quite quantify it with some kind of a number. It was a World Series that may not have been like the last few. The last two World Series went to two Game 7s, really tooth-and-nail games. Although I will say, Games 3 and 4 were some really good baseball games. Some well-played, you know, got the mind
even
working
strategy. Even last 5 years, because then we could talk about Giants.
No, there have been great World Series recently. This was another really good series. It may have only gone 5 games, but each game was pretty competitive for the most part. And interestingly enough, something that definitely happens in other sports is the best team won, because Boston had the best record this year. They had the best record even in spring training, although that matters nothing. They were the best team going into the playoffs, and they won, something that has been a reverse of the other sports. So now, World Series is over. Baseball season is over. But what we see is big moments from free agents. This year has been a year that has been talked about for the last few years. We're waiting till this offseason. Last year, a big thing was how free agents weren't signed. In part, maybe because teams were looking to hold off, keep their money for next year. You got guys like Harper, Machado, Corbin. Interesting trade guys like Goldschmidt. Kershaw, definitely.
Moustakas.
Greinke, interesting guys. Who do you think controls the market? Last year it was Stanton and Ohtani. Who do you think makes everybody wait?
It wasn't really Stanton, it was Martinez last year, kind of.
Well, Martinez was, yes.
Yeah, Martinez was holding
but
out.
Nobody, but there weren't even moves until the Stanton.
Yeah.
Until Ohtani was with the team, and until Stanton was with the team. Who is the guy who delays the market because everybody's putting their chips into that player, and if they don't get him, then they have to make other moves?
I mean, I really want to say Machado. I really do. But you told me this point the other day, like, other teams aren't going to offer him as much as the money. They're going to say, what type of person are you after this playoffs? Like, really, grabbing his crotch towards the fans, stuff like that, like, it's not great attitudes towards a player. A lot of fan bases don't like him. Like, I know, of course, the Red Sox won't pick him up. Not Athletics won't. Besides those two teams. I'm getting a little off topic. But I think definitely Machado, Harper, and if Kershaw does not decide to come back, he will decide how people go after their pitching. If he opts to go into free agency.
Yeah.
He is the top guy, more than Patrick Corbin, more than Greinke. if he decides to opt out.
And I think that what we're seeing is a weak starting pitching market. So if a guy like Kershaw is taken off of the market and is not available to teams, how do teams pursue? Do they still go after the free agents like Corbin, or do they go the trade route? You know, if Washington doesn't re-sign Harper, what's the availability on Scherzer and Strasburg? If the Mets and their new GM, Brody Van Wagenen, decide we're not ready yet and we need to get prospects because they have one of the worst farm systems, do they make DeGrom and Syndergaard
and
available?
Start over a whole rebuild Another rebuild with only one good, mediocre, semi-good year.
Yeah.
Like that World Series year, that wasn't even...
They made it, but they just didn't have any sustained success.
2015 was... Cubs were not ready that year. And they were able to beat the Cubs on the coattails of David...
And the Dodgers, that was a bad year. They choked that one. However, I think some of the interesting things that could come out is in past teams have gone after the big players and have said, you know, Eric Hosmer is our first baseman. He will be our guy for 162. What we just saw from the Red Sox is, I know it's the playoffs and you play the playoffs a little bit differently than you can play the regular season, but they used platoon.
Yeah.
And they went, all right, we're going to have Moreland and Pierce. We're going to have Nunez and Devers. You can't do that for 162, but you can build your team in ways where you use situational. You have a righty and a left-handed third baseman. You have guys who are very versatile. I think those guys could have an interesting, different meaning on how the free agency holds up.
So do you think that like certain underrated, less big names will be getting a bigger voice on the market?
I think it's going to be a little bit similar to last year in the sense that people are going to hold off on the name guys and just be a little bit more concrete on who they go after. But there are some interesting bigger name guys. For example, AJ Pollock has been a really good player for Arizona, and Arizona doesn't have the money to bring him back. He will find a new team. I don't know if the Indians can bring back a guy like Michael Brantley when they still have to go get their guys like Andrew Miller and Cody Allen. Is the bullpen more important than having that left fielder? Can Bradley Zimmer emerge? You have some big names, you have some small names who have had good years. I think that the biggest thing that could be an impact is what teams decide to do with the big contracts.
Yeah, I agree with that too. We saw a good end of the year from Andrew McCutchen. We saw a good year end of the year from... Sorry. We actually saw a good end of the year by... We saw a good year by Markakis in general. Let me say something. Hayward will not opt out of his...
No, there are guys like Jason Hayward who has a big option. There are David Price, big options where if they opt out, the money is just not... And we just have reported that David Price will not opt out of his contract with Boston and will lock into the remaining 4 years of his contract. Very smart move for him because even though he had a great ALCS and World Series, he wasn't going to get the long-term money.
Yeah, he's so inconsistent in the postseason. And, you know, even I said this last podcast, but even though you could say he had just as good as a year as Severino, a great second half, like... The guy is getting old. He might be a Hall of Famer, probably not. Just middle of the road guy in baseball now.
Now, a question I have for you is, what impact should your playoff performance have on your MLB, on your contract?
Okay.
Because you pay guys for the regular season. However, we've seen on both sides, Yasmani Grandal had a terrible defensive playoffs and not a good one at the plate. Manny Machado, not the best one, you know, on the field. Stuff that was on the field but off the field nagged him, and the hustle and whether or not he's a dirty player. But then we also see guys like Nathan Eovaldi, who had a good year but then had an amazing playoff stretch. He could get overpaid. Guys like Grandal could get underpaid. What impact should the playoffs have on your contract?
I think playoffs should have a decent amount of, you know, how you see a player, for example, like, I know he didn't have a good postseason, but let's just go, I'm a big CC fan. Like, CC in the playoffs, he's hardcore. We learned from Evaldi that he is willing to, he has no regard. He goes on 3 days rest and then pitches 98 pitches, 2 days later comes in and pitches the eighth inning. He is such a workhorse that he has had two Tommy John surgeries, and we've seen from him that he's like a guy that's super underrated. I think he's underrated. His regular season can be underrated. Grandal, I think Grandal is a good player. I don't think his World Series is going to impact him that much. I just think it was the overall team that kind of that just didn't play well together. They first and third with two outs, they weren't putting the ball in play like the Red Sox were. Red Sox, I saw a percentage, 70% of the time they put the ball in play with two outs with runners on base. That is, you know, and guess what? A percentage of those are going to be hits. So what do you want right there? Also, like, for example, we'll go Steve Pierce. He had a great postseason, won World Series MVP, but he shouldn't deserve a big contract. He's not, you know, in a full season, he's not, you know, gonna get that. You know, you get hot, you hit 3-4 home runs in a period of 10 days. That's baseball.
But can he play 162 consistently?
Yeah.
Probably not. We also see some guys who are big name players in their market who don't necessarily get the full media attention. Guys like DJ LeMahieu, a batting title champion in Colorado, I'll give you that, but doesn't necessarily get the whole holistic review. Jose Iglesias, a guy who's a really high prospect for the Red Sox, was traded in the Cespedes trade. We have guys like Eduardo Escobar, a really good player who actually re-signed with the Diamondbacks, which is an interesting move because it could contradict maybe what the rumors of them looking to potentially trade Paul Goldschmidt. And if you're
But that's only a $21 million deal, 3 years.
Yeah.
And he's a good
player. He's a potential
solid
trade,
yeah.
trade piece.
Yeah, exactly.
Then you get guys who are older players who have been established for many years, and it would be interesting to see what happens to some of those guys, like Daniel Murphy has had many great years in a row. Guys like Ian Kinsler, Nelson Cruz, older guys who, Gio Gonzalez, who have proven in the past, but the question is, how many more years do you have out of them?
Something I actually want to see, I want to see who picks up Clay Buchholz.
After that great season.
He's the most underrated guy on the whole free agency market. Like really underrated. What did he pitch? 2.25 ERA.
Over a good amount of starts with
over like 20 starts.
Arizona.
With Arizona, 9 wins, I believe. Like, that's a good year. I want to see how these bigger teams go about signing their players again. What are Yankees going to do with CC? What is Boston going to do with Pierce? Probably won't re-sign him. And he just won World Series MVP.
Now, the last thing I want to talk about in free agency connects a little bit to last year. Last year, and what current trend in baseball is, the diminished value of starters and the increased value of relievers. And, bullpens win big time right now. Last year, we had guys, especially in Colorado, like Brian Shaw, Jake McGee, and Wade Davis, all have underperforming campaigns given their contract. This is an amazing relief pitching class. To list a few names, Adam Ottavino, Urias Familia, David Robertson, Craig Kimbrell, Brad Brock, Joe Kelly, who had a great World Series, Andrew Miller, Kelvin Herrera, Mark Melanson can opt out. You have guys like Adam Warren, who have had good years, Bud Norris, Madison. Zach Britton, a few years removed from a great year, had a tough injury-riddled season. What can he do? Cody Allen has had years in the past. Jerry Blevins, a great lefty. AJ Ramos had a tough injury-plagued season. You have a lot of guys who can be interesting options out of the pen. But last year, those guys didn't perform. What reliever do you see right now as having a major impact, no matter what their contract is?
Britton. He will come back and he will be good. I think he was put in a tough spot. You know, not a closer anymore, seventh inning guy after his injury. And he will be undercut. He will not get the money that he deserves. And that's Tony Sipp, I think, is someone that's under the radar too. And to me, Ottavino is one of the best holders in the game. He has the highest WAR as we're looking at. He has the highest WAR of any bullpen pitcher. And you know, I definitely think that Ottavino will be the guy that has an impact. He's getting older, he's maturing, and I think he's just going to be one of those guys that we look at and we say, wow, we did not expect this. You know, because he's just, you know, like I think Robertson too is just going to be the same old Robertson. He can pitch for another 5-6 years if he wanted to. He has great stuff. I think those two guys, Robertson and Ottavino, are going to have impacts on whatever team they go to.
I'm going to choose somebody who's a little bit connected to Britton, but he was Zach's setup man for many years. An all-star, former all-star, Brad Brock. He went to Atlanta mid-season and performed really well for one area that the Braves didn't have. They did not have a good relief pitching. They had Adronis Vizcaino trying to close out games. They didn't have a solidified bullpen. Brad Brock brought some stability to them and helped them, you know, hold on to the division over the surging Nationals and Philadelphia Phillies. I think he's an interesting guy because he provides a little bit more versatility. He can go long. He can go short. You can mix and match him in the sixth. You can bring him in. You can also maybe even bring him in the ninth, the eighth. There are many things that you can do with him that you just don't know what could happen. So that is our outlook on MLB offseason and the hot stove and the potential free agents. Looking forward to next MLB season. What is one storyline that you look at as having a potential major, major impact?
I think the Indians, by August, or by September, by the trading deadline, by August, they will be looking to sell some of their players. They're going to realize that they can't contend anymore. And they're not going to be necessarily rebuilding, but I think they'll be doing that thing where they trade away their good players for good young players that have young outlook. Like they could trade Ramirez for someone.
Oh, so you're even thinking about guys like Jose Ramirez,
like no
MVP candidates.
I'm even thinking him.
I don't think
and
that they,
Brantley. They'll definitely trade Brantley.
Brantley's a free agent.
Oh, is he really?
He's a free agent. I don't see them trading Lindor because I think every team needs to have some kind of face of a franchise to sell tickets. So you want to have guys like those, like Francisco Lindor, a great face.
I think Ramirez is, yes, Lindor has the great smile, but I think Ramirez is a way better player.
Than Friendly, really?
Yeah, I think Ramirez is a better overall player. I think he's the best player on that team. Mm. Donaldson's also a free agent. It's going to be a tough year for some of these players. Cleveland, Matt Holliday didn't get signed till August.
I definitely agree with you on Cleveland. I think that they had their window, and I think it kind of actually is closing because teams like the Indians don't have the money. They don't have the money to bring back all of Brantley, Cody Allen, and Andrew Miller. They could realize that, yes, we may win our division, but can we win in October, considering how great Houston, New York, and Boston are in just the American League? For me, I think that the big storyline is something that we saw last year of the disparity between the great teams and the bad teams. And what I'll say about this is, in the American League last year, you had three teams win 100 games. And you had three teams who were many more than three teams. You had many teams that just totally sucked. Kansas City, Baltimore, Detroit, Minnesota, Toronto for the large part, Texas.
Marlins.
The Marlins in the National League.
Sorry, I'm just going to say something quick about the Marlins. Marlins were always losing games that they once had a lead in. Like, I was always on MLB Tonight.
They were a better bad team.
They were a better bad team. Go ahead, sorry.
I think that this is a problem for baseball. You don't want to have... You see it more in other sports with, of course, the Warriors and the great teams in basketball and the great teams in football. But in football, on any given Sunday, I really feel like almost any team can beat any other team.
Yes.
You can't quite tell me that maybe the team who's in the lead of the NFC East is going to beat the team who's in third place of the AFC South. These games are a lot more competitive. In baseball, I just feel like there are too many teams who are just like, let's rack up the prospects, let's tank for a few years because that's what's working. And I know if it's working, if it's working, use that same model, and it's a copycat league. But you can't.
It is a copycat league.
But you can't have every team stink.
That is a big problem in baseball. I don't know how they're gonna handle it or not. Are they gonna warning about tanking? Are they gonna start saying
something that the NBA? Although the NBA has its super teams, they don't have its terrible teams.
That's true.
Every team, it almost feels like, is forced to keep some form of a high end player.
So that was our podcast. Today is Halloween. Happy Halloween. Hoping y'all dress up, fresh cut, you know what I'm saying. Aaron Judge was Aaron Gordon recently. Aaron Gordon, NBA prospect, gonna be an all-star, perennial all-star pretty soon. Dressed up as Aaron Judge the other day. That's our end comment. Have a nice day.